I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Tiene en su pie.
Ahí está Miranda, se coloca en la frontal del área. No mardas Billy bajo los palos. Corre Miranda, chuta con la izquierda Miranda. Gol, 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 gol. Y gol. El Betis, campeón de la Copa del Rey. Y gol, 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 gol. El Betis, campeón. Gol, 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 gol. ¡Ay! ¡Salta la gente al campo, eh!
¡Es imparable! ¡No pueden!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to La Liga Lowdown. It's our special Copa Review podcast, as it's been a victorious night for Real Betis, winning the Copa after 17 years. They beat Valencia 5-4 on penalties after 2 hours of grueling, sapping football. It's a joyous night for all the Beticos, a tough one for Valencia, and we'll reflect on the winners and losers of the final. I'm your host, Matt Clark. I'm joined by Sam Leveridge. And we'll also hear from David Whitworth and Paco Pollitt on what was a very emotional night for everyone involved. Sam, what were your takeaways from the final briefly?
Well, it was a fantastic game. It was a proper cup final, a proper late Saturday night, finishing about 1 a.m. experience. I mean, I think the Betis and Valencia fans at the stadium must have been absolutely exhausted after they've been partying all day to then see it go down to that. I was exhausted just watching it on TV, so I think it was just a proper Copa day experience. I mean, I think everybody who was watching it lived it so intensely and seeing what it meant to so many of the players. I mean, at the end, we saw both of the captains, Joaquin and José Luis Gaya, both in tears for very different reasons. And it was a draining experience. I mean, I feel like the Betis fans will have had the best night of their life and the Valencia fans might not have a night quite so difficult for quite some time.
Yes, the emotions are always so contrasting, especially when it comes down to the lottery of penalties. Well, let's start with the victors then. We're now joined by David Whitworth, the Betis fan who is triumphant and over the moon today after the victory for Betis. David, great to have you on the podcast. First of all, how are you? Have you slept? What does it feel like?
Thank you very much for inviting me on the show. Yeah, a mixture of emotions feeling. Didn't sleep so much. But a great celebration last night and just processing the moment little by little from the final whistle to like, wow, we won. We did it. We lifted the cup. We're in Europe next season. Joaquin did it. Just all these little steps, little by little, just processing things and then going to Plátano Weber, which we've sang a song for years about, just on the way there thinking this is happening. We're actually going to go to Plátano Weber to celebrate this moment and just, yeah, thousands of fans there in the centre just coming together and unbridled joy and just a huge moment in our history for sure.
Yeah, it's only the third Copa title in Betis' history. 17 years after the last one, it was the number 17, Joaquin, who lifted the trophy. How did you experience the final, David?
Yeah, I mean, I woke up and felt quite calm and relaxed. And then suddenly as the day got more and more closer to the night in the final, just the nerves started to kick in. And I mean, I must admit, I was always confident we would do it. But you just never know. In the final, anything can happen. And I know we won the corresponding fixture in the league 4-1. It was never going to be that much. You never see a final, hardly ever see a final, which is such a big difference. So I always thought it was going to be tense and close. But yeah, just a mixture of emotions. It was a typical final, wasn't it? A mixture of tension, drama, great football, two teams with two different schools of thought going into the final, which they showed. Betis obviously are going on the attack, playing good football. Valencia trying to engineer their style with, yeah, trying to stop the play and trying to play a different game to us, let's say, but a game that works for them. And it was two teams that really brought it to the table for both teams, both us and Valencia. I thought it was a terrific final for a neutral as well.
Yeah, it started so well for Betis, didn't it? The early goal from Borja Iglesias, the top scorer in the Copa this season. How impressed have you been with him in the Copa and in general this season?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm thoroughly delighted for him because he's gone through such a difficult spell since he's come to Betis. I think the price tag was a big factor in it and the pressure. He's worked really hard on his game physically and mentally to get to the levels that we knew that he was at Espanyol. He's got 12 goals for the season now. He got two against Valencia. So I thought that and his hurly-burly style and it would be perfectly set up for a game against Valencia was the reason he got the nod. And he showed last night. He was brilliant. Not just his great goal, a great assist from Bellerin, a great cross, bullet header, but his all-round play as well. He was terrific holding the ball up, bringing people into play. The chance that he created for, I think, was it Fekir in the second half, was an outstanding assist as well. So he brought everything to the table and he thoroughly deserved his man of the match performance.
Yeah, and another guy who stood out for me, I mean, only for one kick, but Juan Miranda, I mean, his story is pretty incredible. He was at the final in 2005 as a fan. He was, I think he was 5 years old, watching Joaquin win the cup on the pitch that time. And then obviously on Saturday night, he was scoring the winning penalty for Joaquin to lift the trophy again. I mean, how surprised were you to see him stepping up to take that decisive penalty? And tell us a bit about that story of Miranda and his return to Betis.
It's a great footballing story. I mean, like you said, yeah, the last time we won it, he was just a child, just a fan of the club, which he's grown up with. He's not far from the city of Sevilla in a little town, and his whole family are huge Betis supporters. He went to Barcelona as a child, and he did very well in the youth team there. Then he had a spell in Germany, came back to Betis last season on loan, and he's been brilliant. I mean, he last season he was the best left back. Says a lot now with Alex Moreno being our, let's say, number one left back. Miranda has improved a lot his game. Always a consistent player. Always like a 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10 player. And it's just a fitting story for him as well that a boyhood supporter of the club would score the winning penalty. But what a surprise to see him as the number 5. I mean, I imagine Betis have been practicing during the week and they've known on the stats that who the players are good, who want to step up. And you just never know in a scenario. He was on the bench, wasn't expected to come on. We're surprised to see him come on. And then there he is taking that fifth penalty. So it shows a lot of bottle to take that in a pressure situation. But it must be backed up through stats as well, because I imagine they've gone through them and thought, well, yeah, if he's on the field, he's willing to take one. Because, I mean, at that time, we took off Fekir, Canales, Juanmi, because it was like, who could be the 5? Obviously, Joaquin's going to step up. William Jose's got a great record. But then you think, who could step up? And Miranda was definitely not on the list of our choices, that's for sure. But what a penalty that he took. And that moment when he just sank to his knees and the realisation. I think, obviously, apart from Joaquin scoring that winning penalty, I think it's a great story that him, a boyhood supporter of Betis, scores that penalty that takes us to the third one.
Yeah, and I mean, all 5 of those penalty takers were substitutes that Manuel Pellegrini brought on. I mean, what did you make of how Pellegrini handled the game? Because at some point, if I was a Betis fan, I would have been a bit concerned seeing Juanmi, Canales, Fekir, Borja all going off. But he handled it quite well.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. I mean, we always say he's got a plan. And in the end, he showed it once again. I mean, and it's not a one-off thing. He's down along the season. He's made some critical substitutions. The players that have come on, changed the game, either assisted a goal, scored a goal, made a difference. And he's done it once again. I mean, we played a game against Elche during the week when we played Canales, Fekir and Juanmi. So it was a big surprise that them played. And you could see towards the end that those players were, feeling the effects of the final from playing that game. So it was a risk to play them during the week, but we're still theoretically going for a Champions League place. So I think it was the right call. But in terms of the players that came in, he got it spot on once again. And like you said, all of them that stepped up were the substitutes. all of them played the part, and that's what it's all about. It's not just the Once de Gala that played, that started, the starting 11 that was expected of the final. It's the whole team that's come together, and this is not just last night, but the whole season. Players have come off the bench, made a difference. Betis have made 7, 8, 9 changes sometimes during from one match to another, but the identity, philosophy, and their hunger is still there. They still play at the same level, and I think that's the critical thing with this Betis team. Yes, we've got crucial players, but it's a team that's come together, and it showed it again last night. There was moments where, yeah, we had to ride our luck. Valencia had some great chances in that game. Defensively, we were porous at times, and we have to recognise that, so we got away with it. But that's what you need sometimes in football. You need a bit of luck, and we got that. And at crucial moments, we were, at the level we've shown all season, and then at penalties, it's one of them just like, yeah, you try and pick a spot, be as confident as you can, and try and put it away, don't you? So thankfully, we got the better of it.
Yeah, and I mean, looking back through the whole cup run, I mean, it hasn't been easy for Betis. I mean, even I think the second round, they were 1-0 down to Talavera, coming back to win, then Valladolid, who are flying in Segunda, then Sevilla, obviously, the Grand Derby, and all the difficulties of that game being suspended halfway through, Real Sociedad, and then that last-minute winner against Rayo Vallecano. I mean, it really has been an emotionally draining cup run, hasn't it?
Totally, absolutely. Yeah, you mentioned that Talavera game at the end of December. That was the biggest moment for us of all the matches we'd played in this cup run. That was the one that could have knocked us out, because we put out a very strong team that night. I think there were 8 of the normal 11 played, and we were struggling. We lost the first goal. We brought it back to 2-1. Then they scored again, went to extra time at that moment. I think it was raining that night as well. So you just never know. There was always, as we've seen this season, I think the format has been better this season. It's brought out more shocks, and we could have been another one for sure. We managed to get through. And then, yeah, we got through against Valladolid, but that score of 3-0 was misleading, because it was a difficult game for us, and it shows, because they're doing well in the Segunda, and I think they'll get promoted at the end of this season. And then, yeah, you mentioned Sevilla game. Yeah, I think that was the moment for us when we won that derby match, that it gave us the full confidence that we can go on and go on better than last season and get to the final. And I think that really set the tone perfectly for setting us up to get to this final.
Yeah, and I mean, what were the celebrations like last night? I mean, you touched on it earlier, but how crazy was it?
Amazing, amazing. Yeah, to go to Plaza Nueva and to see at least 1,000, 2,000 supporters there coming together. Flares were going off, singing, chanting, fireworks. It was like a new year. It was like a Happy New Year celebration, and just everybody coming together and just a real sense of pride and joy and relief as well. You could see on people's faces just how much they've gone through the ringer for this match. But that's Betis. It wouldn't have been us if it wasn't going to be like a 2-3-0 easy professional win. No, we had to suffer. We always suffer to go through the good moments, and I think that's the beauty of being a supporter of our club, that we've gone through our difficult moments, and it's sweeter when we do have a success like this. So you can imagine, yeah, so many parties going off in the city before the match in Alameda, a big area of the city where people go and celebrate. Even before the match, there was thousands of people there gathering and singing and drinking and with nerves as well, anticipation of the final. So yeah, the green and white half of the city really lived the match before the match and certainly after as well.
Fantastic. So I mean, one eye on the future now. I mean, that secures your place in Europe for next season, but there's still a shot at top four, and then even beyond that. I mean, this is a team with some older experienced pros like Joaquin, Claudio Bravo, Andres Guardado, but also some young talents. I mean, how far can this Betis team go?
Well, with the victory last night, it completely takes the pressure off what we need to do is to get into Europe. That was the aim at the start of the season, and we've done that now because we're still in a fight with Real Sociedad and Villarreal for that fifth spot. So if we hadn't have won last night, would have been tricky with obviously the losing the final and going to the final few games. Now we've won that, we know it's in the bag, we've got the Europa League place. It's just complete bonus time for us. I think all Betis supporters will be absolutely amazed by the season that we've had. And if we finish in fifth, been an absolutely sensational season. But what we do now have is bonus time. We've got five matches that we're going to have to go on a run, probably win at least four of them of the five to get in one of those four places. But you never know. I mean, we're seeing like Barcelona losing against Elche, Atletico Madrid just getting through in games at the moment. They've got the pressure on them. They are the ones that have to be in those Champions League places. We don't. The pressure is off. So that's the advantage we have. Most of the squad are fit, firing, hungry, successful, ready to go. So it's going to be difficult, I'll be honest. I think it'd be difficult for us to get into those top four places because of the gap that there is in a minute. But it's one of them. Hey, why not? Let's go for it. Let's be ambitious. We've just won the Copa del Rey. We've got this bonus time now where even if we don't get higher or even finish a bit lower, we've done what we needed to do. We've won the cup. We've got into Europe. But let's be aspirational. Let's go for it. And let's see if we can get into those top four places.
Yeah, free hit now. Let's finish with talking about a couple of the individuals that really kind of made the headlines then. The engineer, of course, Manuel Pellegrini. He's made history with other Spanish clubs, Villarreal, Malaga. Did well at Real Madrid amid a lot of criticism. But here with Betis, he's finally won his first domestic trophy in Spain. And it's just, I think a lot of neutrals are so happy to see him do well. And of course, last season, he only got knocked out on penalties. So technically, he's unbeaten in the Copa del Rey with Betis. How, just to have a few words of reflection for the job he's done.
He's done a terrific job. And forgetting the fact I'm a Betis supporter, I'm delighted for him, for what he's done for Spanish football, like you say. He's the recognition that he deserves for everything he's done for Spanish football with Villarreal, with Real Madrid, with Malaga, and now with us. It's fitting tribute that he finally wins a trophy here in Spain because he's been a great ambassador for the league. He's been a great gentleman for all the clubs he's been for, not just in Spain, but everywhere around the world. And it's fitting tribute for him that he's won this trophy. He's done magnificently for this club. Let's not forget, when he took over 2 years ago, we were 15th, closer to relegation than the top six. With a team that was good, but just needed an identity, needed to be navigated and needed to get rid of some players that weren't at the ambitious level that we needed. And I think we've only brought in four or five players, mostly all on our free as well. So the job he's done in this pandemic world that we've been in has been absolutely outstanding. I mean, he's had to put up with a lot of pressure as well because, yeah, the Betis supporters were a demanding bunch. We can be at times, we recognise that. But we finally, found a manager that's... And he's used to winning. He's used to being at the top levels. I mean, I remember a press conference against... we won against Barcelona. And one of the first questions was, great win against Barcelona at Camp Nou. What does this mean for you and Betis? And he said, well, 3 points more, we go to the next game. And that's when I realised, then I thought, whoa, he's just said this like he's playing a Sunday league team, not just we've beaten it at Barcelona at Camp Nou. That's when it clicked with me how ambitious he is. And he really just focuses on winning. And he's a born winner. And he's instilled that into the players, to the club, fans as well. We're buying into it. We believe more we're going to win. All comes from him as well. And I'm so glad last night he was wearing his tracksuit as well because he's got a better record as a tracksuit than in their smart clothing. And there was no way the Betis supporters were going to allow him to wear anything else but his tracksuit last night, and it came good again. But yeah, absolutely delighted for him. He thoroughly deserves it.
El Shandal. Yes, of course, second oldest coach ever to win the Copa del Rey. And I think we have to end with Joaquin, the first player for Betis to win two Copas. As we said, 17 years apart. What does he mean to you as a Betis fan? Obviously, the Spanish football community love him as a kind of, a joker, takes life really easily, carefree. But for a Betis fan, what does it mean?
He's the embodiment of Betis. When you think of Betis, you think of Joaquin. When you think of Joaquin, you think of Betis. He's one of the 13 stripes, people say, of the club. He's just the complete ambassador, role model, captain, leader, legend, whatever you want to call him, all the accolades you want to give him. We can identify with him. He's one of us kind of thing. He's deep down, he's a Betis supporter. He wants the best for the club, whether it be a fan, player, shareholder, future job in the club. He's just been terrific for us over two spells. And to say that the 7 years going now he's been playing and he's still playing at a good level, still influential coming off the bench or playing for 60 minutes. Last night, he did well in the time that he came on, scored a crucial penalty. It was so great to see him lift that cup. I mean, for us, the perfect man for the perfect occasion to lift that cup. It's up to him. It's up to him, the decision now. I think he's waiting on, yeah, whether we won the cup or not, whether we finished in the Champions League. What I will say personally is, if I was him now, I would say, you go into that sunset, that green and white sunset, and you've got your Hollywood ending. We'd love to see you go on again for another season. I think for merit-wise, not just emotional-wise, he can do it. I think he's valid because we're in the Europa League, maybe Champions League next year. He would get games. I still think he's possible to play there. But why go on? Why go on? He's got this ending now. He's won his second Copa del Rey. He can go out on an absolute high, like Cañas did in 2005 as the captain. That would be my sentiment to him. Whether he wants to go with that, that's his decision, of course. But it would be the Hollywood ending for a Hollywood player. And he's just been magnificent for us. And whatever he chooses to do, we'll support him fully.
Absolutely. We'll see what the future holds for him. But his place in Betis folklore and Spanish football history is forever cemented. Well, thank you very much, David. Enhorabuena to all the Beticos and yourself. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much indeed. Much appreciated.
So as you can see there, David is ecstatic, as are all the Beticos, after that triumphant, historic victory in the Copa. Well, join us after the break, because in part two, we have to reflect on the losing side, which was, of course, Valencia. So stay tuned and we'll hear from Paco Pollet after the break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Junior Musa, Hernández, Hernández, que le dice a don Claudio, no, no, se mueva, toma carrera Junior Musa, Junior Musa golpea con la derecha, ¡fuera!
Bien, perdón, quiero decir...
Pobre chaval, coño.
Qué pena, muchacho.
Aquí está. Pobre chaval.
Welcome back to La Liga Lowdown and our review of the Copa del Rey final. Of course, for every winner, there has to be a loser, and unfortunately... that was Valencia on this occasion. We're now joined by our very own Paco Pollet, who is very tired, destroyed, he just said to us off air. Paco, ánimo, how are you?
Yeah, I think that's the word, you know, because the level of stress and of work hours during Saturday was very high. We had a, you know, a special show. I actually think we had scheduled like content since 10 a.m., till actually 2 a.m. in the morning. It was like 16 straight hours, including the 6 hours of the broadcast. So yeah, it was very, very demanding. Obviously, I got home. I was gutted, not only about the outcome of the game, but after watching the scenes of the players, Jose Gaya crying just on top of the pitch, he was... you couldn't say anything to him at that point, and the fans were alike in the stands. They were gutted 100%. They also had to come back to Valencia. I believe this weekend has been, you know, plenty of Valencia fans jumping on the car, going to Sevilla, and now the travel back home is going to be, the trip back home is going to be very, very tough for them. But, you know, it's the way sport has to go. And obviously, I want to congratulate Betis fans and Betis because they were the deserved champions in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke in the group chat and some polls on Twitter, and Betis seemed to be the kind of overwhelming choice for the winners. But in the game itself, it was quite even, wasn't it? And Valencia were more than worthy of the draw.
Yeah, I think that to some extent, if you go the boxing route and start, awarding points for each squad, for each team, I believe that Betis overall were better because they had the better chances. They had two shots on the post. I think Mamardashvili was Valencia's best player overall because he was huge under the sticks. But ultimately, in a game of small little details, actually Valencia had the chances. They had their chances in the second half. They had the chances in their in the extra time because I don't know. I think that maybe their accuracy wasn't as pinpoint as in other draws and in other rounds. Against Athletic Club in both games, Valencia did actually have only a few handful of chances. They didn't have that many occasions on to score, but they were very accurate. Guedes was crucial in those games. Hugo Duro was crucial in those games. On Saturday, we only actually see Hugo Duro on one single occasion, which was the goal, which was, by the way, a clinical finish. Excellent, a performance of a showcase of quality by Hugo Duro. But Gonzalo Guedes didn't actually have his moment. And we expected him to do some of his usual, to pull one of his tricks, you know, from outside the box, an incredible shot, an incredible run. And ultimately, they didn't. We weren't able to deliver. Whereas for Betis, I think that Borja Iglesias had a huge game overall. And actually believe he wasn't that happy when Pellegrini subbed him off in the last few minutes of the game, at least of the first 90 minutes. Fekir was a headache for the whole Valencia defense, the whole game. And overall, they were better at the back than they expected, because I think that both teams had many problems at the back, and I expected Betis to mess up at some point. You know, the typical pass, the passing around, goalkeeper Claudio Bravo, who isn't the actual starter this season. I don't know. I expected some mistake from them, and it never came. And that's why Valencia didn't have the chance to, get the second goal. And once you go down to the penalty shootout, you know, that's usually say here in Spain, it's a lottery. But it isn't, because ultimately the people who take the pens and also the keepers who are able to study the big data and see how the opposition are going to take the pens, I think it came down to a small little detail, which was Yunus Musa being a 19-year-old kid who decided to, you know, take a step forward and take a pen, which was ultimately crucial for Valencia. And Betis, you know, were 100% perfect in every single shot. I don't know. There are many things to analyze from the game, but overall, I think Valencia, yeah, they did their best. They didn't have those many chances. Betis overall might be a slight little better, but whenever you get to a penalty shootout, you can say that it's fair that the draw was the best outcome, but someone had to win, and it were Betis.
Yeah, as you say, a very, very young squad, and Sam's got a few players he wants to ask you about now.
Yeah, I was just going to touch on Paco in the post-match interview, Jose, where the last kind of singled out that Carlos Soler chance in injury time. I mean, there were a couple of chances like that. I mean, what did you make of Valencia in that respect? I mean, did you think that Carlos Soler was going to score when that chance fell to him in the 90th minute?
I think it was the best chance in the second half, especially because if you watch the review of that single play, Claudio Bravo was already, lending himself, throwing himself to the other side, and he saved with the feet, I believe. But I think Carlos Soler's finish wasn't with the power enough it wasn't powerful enough. It was a bit, you know, as we say in Spanish, it was mordida. He didn't hit the ball properly. And that's why the finish wasn't successful. But yeah, I think that especially before entering the box, Valencia in that moment of the game had 2-3 quick counters where they didn't take the proper decision making at the proper time. And I believe the youth of the squad is to blame in that sense. I think that Hugo Duro, Guedes, Carlos Soler, Yunus Musa, Rathic, if you want, they are Brian Hill. They are very talented in some of those cases, but the decision making isn't as mature as in some of Real Betis' players. And I think that if it had happened the opposite, for example, if Betis had had those chances, those breaks, like 3-2, 4-3, they would have taken the proper decision making and gotten the goal. And I think that was a slight difference on a squad which is, I believe, the perfect blend of youth and consistency and veterans, as Real Betis are, who are, you know, most of them mature players who are in a good moment of their careers. Whereas for Valencia, it's almost always saying it's a blossoming side. But every single season we say the same, because every single season it's actually the truth. You get a very large rotation of players. You know that this summer, after what happened, we are going to have, I believe, many players leaving. Others will come. Plenty of loans. Valencia have lots of players on loan, and you cannot actually build something consistent out of that. And all of those different traits come down to the, as I said, the decision making. Valencia could have had the second goal. They didn't. And that's why they lost the game.
Yeah, and I mean, you touched on it there, Paco, with the penalty shootout. I mean, the average age of Valencia's penalty shootout takers was 23. Mm. And the average age of Betis's penalty shootout takers was 32. I mean, how much do you think that experience mattered in that final few kicks of the game?
I think it's a massive stat. I didn't know that. And once you learn that stat, you'll realize why one of Valencia players were going to miss, you know, because I was surprised. Some of the takers, Rasic, for example, he's not a specialist in that sense, and he did it quite well. And the rest of Valencia's penalty takers were, you know, pretty consistent in that sense. But yeah, it was Yunus, but it could have been another player. And also you had to, I believe, Sam, you should add also the stat of the keeper. Claudio Bravo is a veteran keeper. He knows his stuff like top to bottom, inside out, because he's played for every single team. He's been in the Premier League. He's done everything, okay? Georgi Mardasvili has been in La Liga for literally 9 months. He came last summer as an under 1 million euro signing, random signing, came from Georgia, which is a league who has, you know, a potential very, very inferior to what we see over here in the big European leagues. And he has been one of the breakout players of the season. And I think his performance overall was massive. But when you come down to the penalty shootouts, the experience which Claudio Bravo can bring to the table cannot be compared to the one of Mardasvili. None of them stopped any of the pens. That wasn't the biggest difference, but it's just another additional detail on top of what you said, Sam, that Valencia's squad overall is full of potential on the mid and long term, whereas Betis's potential is right now. And that's why, you know, I think Betis ultimately had to come down to them winning the cup and not us.
Yeah, and before we kind of discuss the future for this Valencia team, what has the reaction been like to Yunus Musa?
Well, I think some of the fans have been harsh on him, obviously. But, you know, we come from a tradition where Valencia lost a Champions League shootout and they lost the trophy 20 years ago. And Pellegrino was the one taking the pen. And Pellegrino was an expert player, a veteran one, and he had his share of stick given to him regardless. So Yunus Musa, 19 years old, he was going to have to endure some of the criticism. But overall, most of the fans are grateful for the squad. They believe and they express that Valencia gave absolutely 100%, and there's nothing to criticize the squad for their performance against Betis. They did their best. They left absolutely everything they had inside of them. The physical demands of such a game were huge, and Valencia got to the end of the 120 minutes with chances, and that's what fans expected from them. I think that Valencia fans, in that sense, even though from the outside they tend to receive plenty of criticism and bad mouthing because they are a very demanding fan base and they are very, sometimes very harsh on some of their players, on their management, on their coaches. Valencia fans possibly are one of the most fair fan bases in the world of sports. If you give to them, they give back in spades. If you lack the passion, the, I don't know, the drive, the motivation, the desire, Valencia fans are going to make you pay. That's the reasoning behind this. And I think it's a fair reasoning. You must give everything to the fans in order for the fans to give you back. And in that sense, I think that the Copa del Rey final this year has been a perfect example. All of Valencia fans in La Cartuja were in the players' hands. They were chanting, they were cheering, clapping back, trying to motivate them in the penalty shootout, trying to, you know, at home in the radio station, in the TV shows, in the streets. I think it's very fair the way Valencia fans treat their players, and that's why overall the overall sense is of gratefulness, because they have done everything they could in order to get the trophy. But at the same time, as I said earlier, Sam, it's a 19-year-old kid from the USA, and it was the first time ever he's going to face such a tense, stressful situation. He didn't make the pen. That's it. No problem. He will eventually do it the next time he encounters himself in a situation like this one.
Sure, yeah, plenty of chances to do that again in the future.
He will have. Definitely he will have. I know we have plenty of listeners in the US, and I think he has such a long, plentiful, exciting career ahead of him in Valencia or wherever he plays, that he must use this in order to learn. This shouldn't drag him down, because someone had to miss the pen. This time, the football gods decided it would be him. But I don't think that anyone can, you know, make fun of him or criticize him for doing so.
Yeah, and speaking of the future, Paco, you touched on it briefly there with a few of the players, but what about, you know, Bordalas and some of the key experienced players, the likes of Gaia, who we saw so emotional at the end? What does the future hold for them, do you think?
Well, that's a pretty long debate ahead of us. I don't know if today we have 3 hours to do it and to perform it, but if I have to distill it into three key points, Bordalas's future isn't that clear, because he still has one more year in his contract, but this season there have been tensions between him and the management, as it happened last season with Javi Gracia, as it happened two seasons before with Marcelino, which ultimately got him kicked out of the club, because Bordalas is a winner and he expects the management to be in that same level. Bordalas is a manager who doesn't sanction anyone's buffoonery, and he cannot stand the fact that he's given his 100%. He has extracted almost the 120% of performance of this Valencia in the Copa del Rey in order to get to the final and be very close to winning it. And that, for example, he didn't get a central midfielder in the whole season, which was his number one request when he got here last summer. He asked for Arambarri, he asked for a number of players who could fit that number six position in the pitch, and the management didn't deliver. So he has been increasingly not demotivated, but we say in Spanish desengañado. He's become very wary of the place he is, of the president, of the sports direction, because he has seen that he's on his own. His staff and the squad are on their own, because they cannot trust and they cannot rely on the management doing the things which are need to be done in order to become great again. So I would say that Bordalás's future is in jeopardy. Let's see what happens this summer. You also touched upon some of the big names. You know, not playing European competition next season is yet another blow for Valencia's finances, which are already in a very bad position, regardless of what happened on Saturday. Guedes, Gaya, Carlos Soler, those three players, you could say that it's like the trifecta of the squad. And I'm not really sure all three of them are going to remain in the squad. And that guts me, you know, that gets me very, very sad, because I cannot fathom a future without one of those three players. What is going to happen with the squad? Obviously, Gaya and Soler are more important than Guedes in the sense of belonging side of things. But Guedes has been the crucial player this season. You guys have seen Guedes this year. He has carried single-handedly Valencia in many, many games. If Guedes leaves, there's no other player who can do that. For example, more cases of uncertainty. Brian Hill was on loan by Tottenham till next summer. Nobody knows what is going to happen with him. Valencia expect to snatch yet another extra year on loan for Brian Hill, but they will have to pay some quantity, and there's no money currently over here. Hugo Duro has been on loan in Valencia this whole season. Valencia have to pay 4 million to Getafe. 4 million euros, if you watch it from a neutral perspective, is an absolute bargain. But Valencia haven't paid the quantity. Why? Because of the uncertainty, because of the lack of funds, because of the lack of investment by Peter Lim, because of many, many things. So at this point in time, Hugo Duro will go back to Getafe after the season he's had for Valencia and after becoming such an important player. Alderete is on loan from that German side, from Hertha Berlin. So there are so many players in doubt for next season. Ilaix Moriba will go back to the German league for sure, and I'm not really sure he will come back. That's the risk of having 20% of your squad made up of loan players that you cannot plan ahead, that you cannot build towards the future, and that after receiving such a big blow as Valencia received this weekend, the panorama that you have in front of you is bleak, to say the least.
Yeah, as you say, a very, very tough evening and an uncertain future ahead for Valencia. Well, we'll let you go there, Paco. Thanks so much for joining us on this special Copa Review podcast. I'm sure we'll speak to you again before the season is over. Thanks, Paco.
Thanks, guys. And obviously, congratulations to Real Betis and Betis fans. And the biggest hug ever for Valencianistas and Valencia fans, because it's been a rough few years. And I expect them, the following ones, to be as rough. So, abrazo a todos and amunt.
Amunt, indeed. Thank you to David, to Paco and to Sam for being with us today. It's been a historic night for Real Betis and all the Beticos. They've celebrated long into the night at Plaza Nueva, and I'm sure that parties will continue for many, many days to come. A tough one for Valencia, as we've said and heard from Paco, but the night is with Betis, and that's how we must finish. We'll celebrate a fabulous evening of football at La Cartuja. Great to see fans back in the stadium and really passionate for the Copa del Rey final. And that's how football should be. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.